Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams, and we are here. This is the final week of the regular season in the NFL, week 18 of Are You Ready for Some Football? But before we jump into week 18, Chip, how'd you feel about week 17 overall?
Week 17 was amazing. There was really, really good games. I was honestly shocked at a few of them.
I was too. Yes.
So, but all in all, I thought it was a good week.
Yeah, I thought so too. We had a lot of pretty interesting games. I mean, there was some controversy in one game. Before we get into that, before we get into our teams and stuff, I want to actually talk about the Saturday night game between the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys pulling away 20-19. But there was some controversy surrounding it in terms of certain players not reporting in for a certain thing. What was your take on that whole situation?
That was a really wonky situation because you have players saying that they reported as eligible. And then you have refs saying, no, they didn't report. A different person reported. And then you have, was it just today or yesterday that Dan Campbell, the coach for the Lions, comes out and says, yeah, we tried to play some tomfoolery there in who was reporting eligible and who wasn't. So it was kind of, I don't know, like,
yeah, you kind of don't know, you know, in a sense. And then,
yeah,
because the referees in that game and the head referee and his crew, I think Brad Allen, I think is his name. They've already laid down the hammer on him pretty hard. And they said that he, will not be able to coach or not be able to referee any of the playoff games because of this situation that happened. And normally, cause I've heard from different people that when anything like that happens, normally they have a liaison that will come over there. One of the players will act as liaison to the other coach saying, this person's in, this person's out, this person's in, you know, whatever. And the ref and Brad Allen even admitted, you know, I screwed up. And when you say I screwed up, you're compromising the integrity of the game. Therefore, it makes people think of it in a negative light. And then it leads to all these other things. And you know, I think Detroit got screwed on that game, but you know, the game is what it is, you know, and we'll have to just move on. It's not like it affected any team standing in the playoffs or anything like that. You know, as of right now, the Cowboys are still the number two seed. So, well, then again, it may have affected it because the Lions could have went from 3-2. So, you know, that's that. But let's get on to some of the other games that took place this week. A game that I'm kind of glad it didn't get flexed to the Sunday night game. The Ravens and the Dolphins. This game was bad to watch for me as a Dolphins fan. It was bad to watch. But Baltimore pulled away 56-19. They scored 21 points in the second and the fourth quarter, you know, alone. And I was like, golly, man. It was probably the worst performance by the Miami defense that I've seen. Tua throwing two interceptions. Just nobody could get open. Nobody could, you know, make a play. Lamar throwing five touchdowns, over 300 yards passing on the day. Even Taylor Huntley came into the game and threw one pass, 19 yards, and that was a touchdown. So I'm like, golly, man. So, Chip, your analysis of the game, if you will.
Well, if you remember correctly, last week when we were talking about this game, I told you that the Dolphins' defense was suspect at times.
Yes. Yes.
And this was one of those times.
Yes.
Yes. And this was one of those times where they were very suspect.
Yeah.
Very suspect to the point that they pretty much didn't show up.
Yeah.
Which is terrible because had they won that game, they would have locked down the number one seed, and the playoffs would have went through Miami.
Yep. And we would have gotten we would have clinched the AFC East title if that would right. happen too.
As it stands now, you guys have a game Sunday night, and that's going to decide whether you guys win the AFC East.
Yeah, and if we lose that game,
whether that makes you a wild card or not.
Yeah, if it makes us a wild card, depending on what Cleveland does, depending on where we go, because honest to God, I'd rather be...
Cleveland's already clinched.
I know Cleveland's already clinched, but what I'm saying is both Cleveland and Miami are both 11-5. So if we win and they lose, we will be the higher seed. We would be the fifth seed. They would be the sixth seed because the record is better. Although, the way Cleveland's been playing also, it's going to be kind of hard for them to lose too. And they're playing against the Bengals, who recently just got kicked out of the playoff contention. But yeah, so moving on from that game, let's talk about the Texans, man. The Texans pulled away with a 26-3 victory against the Tennessee Titans. It's good to see CJ Stroud back in the lineup again.
Very much so.
You know, he did really good, 213 and a touchdown on the day. Not some big crazy numbers or anything like that, but you know, he did what he was supposed to do and he led his team to victory. How did you ultimately feel about this game particularly?
I mean, the Texans dominated from the get go. Mm-hmm. You got to think, you go back and you look, and the Titans on their first drive had to call a timeout. Mm-hmm. Texans get the ball. We go down, score field goal. You know, hey, that's kind of normal for the Texans. They start kind of slow. But right. then it was kickoff. First play on the kickoff, Will Levis is sacked. Sheldon Rankin, scoop score.
Yep.
And Will Levis is out the rest of the game. Now, I will say, I'm probably going to get a lot of flack from some Titans fan. Will Levis is a complete and utter bitch.
Keep going. I'm listening. Go ahead.
He threw a fucking temper tantrum because he got sacked. He then trips one of our players who then steps on his foot. Now, he has to go out for the rest of the game. That's his fault. Like, grow up, be a man. You know, shit happens. You take your sack. Okay, your O-line wasn't covering you like they're supposed to. Hey, Derrick Henry didn't get, 30 yards the whole game? You didn't see him throwing no fucking temper tantrums.
He got 42 yards on 12 carries. That was okay. Derrick Henry's result.
42 yards. That's not a Derrick Henry-esque game. The last two times that the Titans have faced the Texans, they've shut Derrick Henry down.
Yeah.
But Will Levis decides he wants to throw a temper tantrum and all this. Like, go back home and suck your mama's teeth. Like, we're done here. This is grown man's ball.
There you go. Now,
call it like I see it.
Because and to the fans that know, yes, you do realize that the Titans are Chip's most hated team. So, you know, we all have that team that we hate. It just happens to be the Titans for Chip.
Actually, they're not my most hated team.
The Cowboys. I know that. I mean, but that's universal.
Actually, the Titans hold a very soft spot in my heart, because they do own the lineage to the Houston Oilers, which is the team that I grew up watching.
Right. Right. If I'm scrolling through here real quick, I'm trying to find all of our find the rest of our teams. We talked about Baltimore and the Dolphins. We talked about
Let's talk about the Eagles getting beat by the Cardinals.
I was fixing to bring that up. How? I don't know what the hell happened there, dude. Like, okay, let me look at the box score real quick. Let me go back and look at the box score real quick. So Philly looked like they had this thing in control, right? It was 21-6 after the first half. Then Arizona came back and scored 15 in the third. you know.
And then 14 in the fourth.
Yeah. I mean, they and then Philly only got 10 in the fourth. Like, it was literally field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. And then Arizona had back-to-back touchdowns. Philly had a touchdown. Arizona had a touchdown. Philly had a field goal. And then Arizona locked it away with that game. Kyler Murray, you know, it's through 232 and three touchdowns on the day. James Conner ran his ass off 128 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts didn't do bad either, man. He also had three touchdowns on the day on 167 yards.
But time out. Can we talk about the man who stepped up to the plate for the Eagles?
Go ahead.
Julio Jones. Julio Jones with two touchdowns.
Yes. Two catches, two touchdowns, 34 yards, targeted twice. So he came out of literally nowhere, you know, I didn't even know he was with Philadelphia. That's how deep Philly's roster is. They have the A.J. Browns and the Dallas Goddards and the Devontae Smiths and Kenneth Gainwells and all them, you know.
Where was A.J. Brown during this game?
Hey, tell me about it. Four receptions, 53 yards. He did lead the team in receiving yards, but not in the Teddy category. But yeah, this definitely affected Philly's standings from the standpoint that Philadelphia is now sitting at 11-5. They're still going to be the fifth seed, but I mean, like, they're lucky that the Rams are two games behind them, or else they would have possibly been at risk of losing that fifth seed. But yeah, that was one of those games that was probably upset of the week. I can say that was probably the upset of the week. Going back and looking at the rest of our teams, the Broncos and the Chargers. Broncos pulled away, despite the win at 16-9 against the Chargers. The Broncos still are now mathematically eliminated from postseason contention, and the possibility that Russell Wilson could possibly be out of the door.
Did you hear the controversy about that?
Did not. Please elaborate.
So the NFL Players Association has said that if the Broncos try to bench Russell, if they try to bench Russ to save on giving him the money for his contract, that goes against the NFL Players Association, and they are ready to file lawsuit against the NFL and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, because of incentives and things of that nature. That's on top of it, because if you bench him, then you're preventing him from getting – let me ask this question, because I'm not too keen on the legal issue when it comes to that. What exactly would be Denver's response? Like, hey, he's not playing up to our standards. What would you like us to do? Keep him in the game and allow us to keep losing? Or do we replace him with somebody who we think is going to give us a better chance to win? So does the contract dictate the way that Sean Payton is coaching this team? You know what I mean?
I don't know how all that legal stuff works. I just know what's
been reported.
What has been reported so far.
It's interesting, because for the life of me, dude, like, I mean, yeah, granted, like, Russell Wilson is not the same Russell Wilson that played in Seattle, and no one's ever going to say that he will be, but I still think that he's serviceable. However, if you aren't playing to your best ability, if you stink to join up, you got to go. We got to put somebody else in. I'm not saying kick him off the team or anything like that. I'm just saying, yo, you're getting benched. Jared Stidham's going to come in. We're going to see what he can do. And he pulled away with the victory. He didn't have, like, a big game to speak of. It wasn't like he threw for 1,000 yards or something in a single game. But, you know, he was okay. You know, I mean, the Broncos won the game. He only had one touchdown, threw for 224 in that game. The one touchdown that he did have was to little Jordan Humphrey. But that was it.
Former Longhorn.
There you go. Which I don't know if that's a sensitive subject to talk to you about at this current moment. That was a kick. I watched the highlights. It was a kick-ass game, though.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't like the result.
No. It was a terrible game. If you actually sat, I stayed up till 2 o'clock this morning watching that damn game.
Well, I only watched the highlights. I didn't watch the full game. I just watched the highlights. So maybe that's why I thought it was better than what it was, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the highlights are going to make it look fantastic. Right. No, the Longhorns did not play up to snuff. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been in that game, but they definitely don't deserve to be in the Natty. And they're not, because they lost. They played like shit the entire game up until the fourth quarter. I mean, the Longhorns did not possess the football for the entirety of the third quarter.
Whew. That's a rarity in college football to have somebody have time of possession that long.
Yes. They started showing up in the fourth quarter. The play calling was atrocious. We weren't attacking the middle of the field. We were just throwing these little dink and dunk fade routes. It was terrible.
That's sad, man.
Yeah.
But at least Michigan beat Alabama, right?
And they barely beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That game had to go into overtime.
Yeah.
They won by, you know, a touchdown in overtime. Yeah. Yeah. But still, you know, so I do want to say congratulations to the Washington Huskies for making it to the Natty.
Yeah. That should be a good game, though. Michigan, Washington should be a good
It's a de facto all Big Ten national championship.
Pretty much, yeah. Even though there's in the Pac 99 or whatever the conference is going to be called, if it's even going to be a conference in the next couple of years, depending on all these changes and portals and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. So this is actually Washington's very last game with the Pac 12. They're moving to the Big Ten. That's why I say it's a de facto all Big Ten championship.
That makes sense. Yeah. I do agree that Michigan had a harder time with Alabama, and judging by how bad Georgia beat the shit out of Florida State, I'm kind of glad revisionist history going back and looking, I'm kind of glad that Florida State didn't get that number four spot, because I think it would have been an even worse off game if Michigan beat the shit out of Florida State, and Alabama would have had to have played whoever if they didn't get in. I don't even know who they would have played. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, congrats to Michigan and Washington. You know, hopefully it's a good national title. Hopefully it's not a fucking blowout like it was this, you know, last year between Georgia and TCU.
Shit.
What are you shitting? What's going on?
Breaking news, former Green Bay Packers center Ken Bowman died today.
Oh shit. How old was he?
81.
Mm.
Man. Yeah. Not to put a somber note on it, but we do want to send our thoughts and condolences out to the Bowman family.
Absolutely.
He died in Oro Valley. They did not disclose the cause of death, but the Packers statement cited Bowman's wife, Roseanne, saying he died of natural causes.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. I mean, you're 88 years old. You're up there in age. I mean, it happens, you know. When you get that age, very rare that people, young people die of natural causes. I mean, I think there was one basketball player that died of natural cause, and he was only like 26 years old.
Shit.
Fabo, what now? More breaking news?
Yeah.
More breaking news?
Former Browns quarterback Frank Ryan died at the age of 87.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of the old guard kind of going to by the wayside. Well, you know, obviously rest in peace to him and prayers to the Bryan family. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he actually led the Browns to their very last NFL title in 1964.
Oh, wow. Go ahead. What?
I was going to say, while spending his off season getting a doctorate in math.
Well, there you go. Yeah. 1964.
1964.
Yeah. So that was 2 years before the merger, or 2 years before the first Super Bowl, rather.
Yeah.
But yeah, rest in peace, man.
Yep. He had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's And the family said that CTE is suspected to have played a role in the progression of said disease. His brain, they are donating his brain to Boston University's CTE Center for further study.
Gotcha. Again, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families. It's, you know, a sad day when anybody passes away. You know, prayers to the family, prayers to the fan base of both the Browns and the Packers today. Especially the old guard, you know, I'm sure many people out there either remember this guy playing from back in the day. Maybe there was a kid watching him, you know, so, you know, I'm sure everybody has fond memories of these two and, you know, rest in peace to you guys. We're going to change the mood up a little here. We'll pick it back up. We're going to talk about the final power rankings for week 18. We're going to go over our teams real quickly. There you go. So at number 22, staying at 22, are the Denver Broncos. At number 11, bumping up one spot, is the Houston Texans. And now to the top 10.
Hold on, weren't they at 11 last week?
No, they were at 12 last week.
Okay.
Yeah, they're at 11 this week. Number 10, bumping up one spot, the Los Angeles Rams. At number 9, dropping 5 spots, are the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
At number 8, bumping up one spot, are the Kansas City Chiefs. At number 7, bumping up one spot, are the Cleveland Browns. At number 6, bumping up one spot, are the Buffalo Bills. At number 5, staying at 5, are the Detroit Lions, despite the loss. At number 4, dropping down one spot, are the Miami Dolphins. At number 3, bumping up 3 spots, are the Dallas Cowboys. Number 2 is the San Francisco 49ers. And number 1, just like last week, are the Baltimore Ravens. I think they got it right this week. Baltimore, you know, showing their dominance against the Dolphins. To be honest with you, after that beatdown, I think Miami should have been dropped a whole hell of a lot more than just one spot down. I mean, hell, if you're dropping Philadelphia down 5 spots, that beating that Miami got laid on them, dude, we should at least be 7 or 8, honestly. But just the way we lost should have been.
Yeah, but you look at it, the Ravens beat the Dolphins 56-19. The Cardinals beat the Eagles 35-31. It was a much closer game. Now, there's other factors that go into that, like, you know, the Cardinals had only won 3 games up until that point, while the Ravens had won.
Just won over the Dolphins at that point?
Well, no, the Ravens had won, 10 games?
In a row?
No, not in a row, just...
Oh, 10 games. Oh, no, they had...
The record.
It was 12 games. It was 12 games.
Before they played the Dolphins?
Yeah, it was 12 before they played the Dolphins. They're sitting at 13-3 right now.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they had won 12 games, you know, so it was more likely that the Dolphins were going to lose to the Ravens as opposed to the Eagles losing to the Cardinals. So
that
I
makes agree sense
with you that the Cardinals or the Eagles probably should have dropped. Or the Eagles, why they dropped more than the Dolphins.
Right. I guess that makes sense in the long run. You know, I just still feel like the manner in which that they, I mean, some people say if it was a close game, then they may have not have dropped at all. But, you know, but we'll see. But that being said, though, we're going to move on to our playoff picture for the upcoming playoffs that's supposed to be happening. There are 3 playoff spots available for the AFC, and there's only 2 playoff spots available for the NFC. We'll start off with the AFC first. The Baltimore Ravens are the number 1 seed. They've already locked in home field advantage. Miami is the number 2 seed as of right now and have already clinched a playoff berth. The Kansas City Chiefs, with their win this past week, have clinched a playoff berth, and right now they're sitting at the 3rd seed. Depending on if they win or lose, depending on where they will fall. And the Cleveland Browns are at 11-5 and are the 5th seed so far. So here are the 5 teams that are left in the hunt. Because the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Broncos all got eliminated this past week from postseason contention. So at number 4 are the Jaguars. At number six are the Bills. Number seven are the Colts. Number eight are the Texans. And number nine is the Steelers. So the way that it works is if the Jaguars win their game against the Tennessee Titans, which in more likelihood will probably happen, they'll lock up that four seed. If the Jaguars lose to the Titans, then the winner of the Colts-Texans game will be the AFC South champions. The Pittsburgh Steelers can make the playoffs provided that the Bills lose and either the Jaguars and the Colts lose. And that's when Pittsburgh can get in the playoffs somehow.
Well, they've also got to beat the Ravens.
They also got to beat the Ravens, which that's not happening. unless they just...
Am I correct in that?
They have to beat the Ravens, yes. Okay. But the Ravens could sit a lot of their starters and just say, you know what, we've already locked it up. If we win or lose, it doesn't matter. But I think because it is a division rival, they're probably going to be like, nah, we're going to keep you from making it. You know what I mean? But you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, but that's right. What it looks like in the AFC. NFC is a little bit more straightforward.
Well, the Texans can also get in if they beat the Colts.
Yeah, well, because whoever wins between the Colts and the Texans will be in at least a wild card spot.
Yes.
But then it comes down to – then after that, it will come down to if the Jaguars win. Yeah, well, right now the Bills have a 94% chance of making it. So regardless of whether or not they win against Miami this week, they're already in the playoffs. In some respect, but if Cleveland loses and the Bills win, then the Bills get the fifth seed and the Browns could be on the sixth seed as well. So there's a lot of switching up that can happen. Right. Going over to the NFC side, obviously the 49ers are the number one seed. The Cowboys are the number two seed. The Lions are the third seed. The Eagles are the fifth seed. And just getting into the playoff spot is the LA Rams. And there are there's two playoff spots left, the winner of the NFC South and the remaining wild card team. Here's the interesting thing. The Buccaneers right now sit at 8-8. You know who else is 8-8? The New Orleans Saints. However, the Falcons, believe it or not, are 7-9, and they also could still possibly make the playoffs. They're not going to, they're not going to win the South, but I do think that they're going to, if they win, possibly, but it also depends on what the Seahawks do, and it also depends on what the Vikings do. Despite the win, the Chicago Bears are mathematically eliminated from the postseason. So as of right now, they have it Buccaneers and the Packers, because the Packers did defeat Minnesota just this past Sunday night. So we're going to see where this lines up. Based on what we talk about when we talk about week 18, we'll kind of determine where everything goes. So let's jump straight into it, man. Let's go week 18 and let's get this going. All the games were to be determined until Sunday night, Monday morning. Yeah. And now we have them all determined. Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah. Monday. Or Monday of this week. Yeah. You guys are seeing it. It is Tuesday. All right, go ahead. Yeah. What we got?
So we're going to start off with our first. We have no Thursday night games. We have two Saturday games and then a slew of Sunday games and no Monday nighter again this week because in college football national championship will be played on Monday. You don't want to put Monday night football against the college national championship. Just not going to draw very well.
Of course not, no.
So we'll start off with our 4:30 Saturday game, where we have the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Baltimore Ravens. Pittsburgh is actually a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under at 36.5.
I think they're making them the favorite because I think Baltimore already kind of said that they're not going to start a lot of their they're not starting Lamar Jackson. They're not starting. There's going to be a plethora of guys that they're just not going to start, which makes the most sense because you want your best players, and they've already locked up the the number one seed. So right. The AFC is going to have to go through Baltimore. Road to the Super Bowl is going through Baltimore. So, you know what? Even with them starting, despite the over-under going towards or the odds going towards Pittsburgh, I still think Baltimore is going to pull off the victory here. I still got Baltimore winning.
So that's Ravens across the board here. I agree with you. What the Ravens just picked up a quarterback off of the Patriots practice squad and immediately signed him to the 53-man roster. And apparently was his name Malik Cunningham. Apparently this kid's pretty good. Just never got the chance to play in New England. You know, Bill Belichick.
Right. That
probably
guy.
He probably didn't get his coffee hot enough or something. I don't know.
Maybe not. Well, I mean, yeah. He's on his way out the door anyway. So,
yeah. So we move on to that, to the fucking Texans finally get a prime time game.
Sorry. That caught me off guard when you threw that shit.
Well, I mean, it took long enough. The Houston Texans versus the Indianapolis Colts, and this is going to be the 8:15 Saturday game. Houston is a 1.5-point favorite with the over-under at 47.5. Obviously, everybody knows that I'm riding with the Texans. We're going to lock this down. We're going to make the playoffs. And I think we might make a run in the playoffs, but we're going to make the playoffs.
You guys are definitely going to win. And if you guys beat the Colts, it automatically knocks the Colts out, and you're stepping right into that wild card position. But then again, you won't have to worry, because if Pittsburgh loses to Baltimore, you ain't got shit to worry about anyway. Baltimore is going to take care of business with Pittsburgh, which is going to lead the Texans to just walk right on into the playoffs. So, I also have the Texans winning this one.
All right. That's Texans across the board. I appreciate you guys. makes me feel good.
I mean, we all try to, you know, encourage our teams unless we're playing against them. And then it's like, you know, I hate you for this week, but I love you.
Right.
All right.
Next up, we'll start our slew of Sunday games. So we got the Cleveland Browns versus the Cincinnati Bengals, where Cincinnati is actually a 6-point favorite.
Yep.
With the over-under being 38.5.
Also, another instance of they're going to probably set the starters. Like, Garrett probably won't play. Joe Flacco probably won't play. Amari Cooper probably won't play. You know, there's a plethora of guys that probably won't play because they're saving them for the potential playoff run. That being said, though, and again, I think that defense is so good, I don't really think it matters. But I do think that Cincinnati's going to try to play spoiler here. Now, I do think there are going to be a few spoiler games, but I don't think this is one of them. I still got Cleveland winning against Cincinnati.
All right. That's going to be Cleveland across the board there as well. So we move on from there to the Minnesota Vikings versus the Detroit Lions, where Detroit is a 3-point favorite with the over-under being 45.5. I'm going to go with the Lions here. They've just got something to prove.
They have something to prove, but I'm not going to count Minnesota out just yet because they do have a small chance. Unlikely, but it's a small chance to make the playoffs. And if they beat the Lions, that goes a long way in trying to solidify them. But again, it also where everybody else falls in terms of Seattle, in terms of Tampa Bay, in terms of, you know, the Saints, you know, so it depends. Right. But I don't think it's going to be that. I think that the Lions are going to take care of business. They're probably not going to start Jared Goff. They're probably not going to start St. Brown. They're probably not going to start a whole lot of people. But I do still think they're going to pick up the win.
All right. That's lines across the board. So far, we're all in agreement here. Yeah. It's going to flip and flop here in a minute. I can assure you.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it will.
Next game we're going to talk about is Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Tennessee Titans, where Jacksonville is a 5.5-point favorite, but the over-under is only 39.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think Jacksonville comes out with the win here. They're clearly the better team. The Titans are terrible. Again, I'll say Will Levis is a bitch. Ryan Tannehill is absolutely atrocious.
Old.
He was decent in the Texans Titans game last week. Not good enough to win. But I think the Jaguars pulled this win out pretty handedly, too.
I agree. I think Jacksonville's going to win this one. Unless the Titans come out with, like, full abandon, which their defense is okay, but against this Jaguars team, a Jaguars team that will more than likely win. Would this be the first AFC South title that they've won, or did they win one last year?
They won last year.
They won last year. Okay. All right. So – this was maybe the first time they won back-to-back AFC South titles.
Yes,
so, I believe so. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm going with the Jags in this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jags in hopes and prayers that the Titans
somehow wake up. Yeah. Right.
That's Jaguars across the board there.
Mm-hmm.
Next game up, we've got the New York Jets versus the New England Patriots, where New England is a 2-point favorite with the over-under being only 30.5. I think that the Jets are going to pull this victory off. But this also comes down to a game of who gives a shit versus nobody cares.
Exactly.
Unless you're a devout fan of either of these teams, nobody cares about this game.
No, it's a meaningless game.
Yeah, neither team's making the playoffs. This is basically for pride, which would not surprise me if New England comes out and wins this game because Belichick's trying to somehow save his job.
No.
I got the Jets winning this one.
I got the Jets winning this one too, but on the New England thing real quick, I did hear something. I sent it to you guys in the group chat earlier that former Dolphins head coach and current Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores and also former Raiders head coach Josh McDaniel, both of those guys are the two main candidates in line for the New England job.
I would give it to Flores over McDaniel. I mean, we see what McDaniel's track record is. The only thing Flores ever got accused of was telling his team not to win.
Well, that was Stephen Ross's issue, and yeah, don't get me started on that piece of shit. Anyway,
I'm just saying.
But yeah, I got the Jets also to win this one.
All right, Chad's actually going to go Patriots here.
Okay.
Yeah. So, next game up, we got the Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints, where New Orleans is a 3-point favorite with the over under being at 42.5. Now I'm going to go Saints here, but I'm not 100% convinced in my prediction here.
No.
I'm going with the Saints because a couple of things factor into this for me. The Falcons just lost to the Bears, right?
Right.
And the Saints just had one hell of a showing
against Buccaneers.
Yep. Ended up beating the Bucs by 10. They've got the momentum. Atlanta could come out and say, hey, to hell with you. We're going to make the playoffs. And we're going to try to save Arthur Smith's job. I think that cat needs to be fired. I never advocate for anybody to lose their job, but when you're not doing your job to the best of your ability with the talent that you have,
mm-hmm.
there needs to be some changes made.
That was my whole thing about Matt Canada at the earlier this year. I said Matt Canada's not doing his job. He doesn't need to be there. You know.
You know, you let him ride out the season. You know, if the Falcons make the playoffs, you know, maybe you give him another year, get some more, you know, draft in or whatnot. But if they don't make the playoffs, chances are you need to move on. And from what I'm hearing, now this is just word on the street. But I'm hearing that Atlanta has made an offer to a top tier college coach to take over the head coaching position. That top tier head coach already resides in the state of Georgia, and we're talking about Kirby Smart.
Yep, I heard that rumor too. Yep.
Now, I think Kirby Smart would be dumb to take
Smart,
the Falcons.
Dumb.
Yes. all pun intended.
I agree. Yes.
But I do think he would be idiotic to take this job, because he's going from a top tier college program to a bottom of the barrel
NFL team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about bottom of the barrel, but definitely mid. Maybe the bottom of the mid, maybe, or the top of the trash. One or the other. They're still in that 20 category in terms of best of teams. Like, if you had to rank all the best teams, they're in like the 20s, high 20s, low teens. If they even make it to the high, even if they make it to the
I got them in. I got them in low 20s, like low 20s.
Right. So like personally. 25, 20, like 26, 27.
Yeah. Somewhere like 25, 26, 27, right in there.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're not talented. I think that the roster has talent on it.
Yeah.
I think it's the coaching scheme, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I say all that to say that I think the Saints pull this victory out and win this game.
The Falcons have a 10% chance to make the playoffs. In order for the Falcons to make the playoffs, the Packers have to lose, the Seahawks have to lose, they have to beat the Saints, the Vikings have to lose, and that's the only way they can get in. The Packers, the Seahawks, and the Vikings all lose their game, and they beat the Saints. That's we already know the Vikings. I already picked the Vikings to lose to the Lions, so they got a chance.
Yeah.
But I don't see the Falcons beating the Saints. The Saints are a way better team than the Falcons. Just because, again, like what you said with Arthur Smith, dude, he has not been the solution. They need a new coach, and I definitely think they're going to probably part ways with him as soon as this game goes. It would not surprise me if they lose this game. It would not surprise me if Arthur Smith is fired within the hour.
I agree with you on
it
that.
It would not surprise me.
That's Saints across the board.
Yes.
The next game we're going to talk about is another NFC South matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Carolina Panthers, where Tampa Bay is a 5-point favorite with the over-under only 37.5. I'm going Bucs here. The Carolinas had got two wins. They beat the Falcons. They beat the Texans. So, you know,
if they don't win this game, if the Buccaneers don't win this game, that puts them at 8-9, and that puts the Saints at 9-8, and the Saints will get the number 4 seed. Now, if the Packers win their game, their chances of making it in at the number 7th seed is more than likely possible. But it also depends on if the Seahawks lose as well, because both teams are 8-8. So we'll certainly see what happens there. I would love to think that the Buccaneers would find out what they messed up last week and fix it. Because if they lose to the Carolina Panthers, dude, it'll be...
They don't deserve the playoff spot.
They don't deserve the playoff spot. I mean, you could technically say that nobody in the NFC South deserves a home playoff game, but It's the way that it's set up. It's the division thing. I get it. Records and divisions, and I totally understand it.
Right.
But I do think that the Bucks are going to win this. If they're smart, they'll play this game like they're playing against a good team. Because when you go in saying, we got this, chances are you may not get it. Because if you underestimate the team you're playing against and they can come back, it can bite you on the ass. Is what happened. Right. It's what happened to the Minnesota Vikings. Like, God, what was it? 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. They played against the Bears, I think, and they lost that game because they didn't take the Bears seriously, and they ended up losing a playoff spot because of it. They could have been the sixth seed, and they ended up getting knocked out. So, because other teams won and proceeded. But for this game, I got the Bucks winning.
That's Bucks across the board there. Next up, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers, another team you mentioned on that cusp of getting a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where Green Bay is actually the three-point favorite, with the over-under being at 44.5. Now, I have Green Bay picked to win this one, but it would not surprise me. I mean, the Bears, they're only one game behind Green Bay right now. Their Bears are sitting at 7-9. Green Bay's 8-8. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears fuck around and win this one. I do think that the Packers are going to pull this out. I think it's going to be pretty close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Because I think the Bears are, I said this last week, they're starting to click on some cylinders. Mm-hmm. Not all cylinders yet.
Right.
But them cylinders are clicking. You know, they're one or two pieces away from being a really good team if they keep key people where they are.
They need offensive line, and they need another receiver other than DJ Moore.
Correct.
Know? So, but also, but that being said, who do you have?
I have the Packers.
I have the Packers also, but like what you said, if the Bears come through and upset the Packers, and if you're Seattle, you want to hope that happens, because really that's the only way Seattle can get in at this point. Because if the Buccaneers win, they got the fourth seed and there's one spot left.
Right.
The Packers, if they lose this game and the Seahawks win that game, You know, hell, the Saints may pull away and steal it if the Packers and the Seahawks lose. So right. We'll see what happens there.
So that's Packers across the board there.
Yes.
So far, the only one that we have disagreed on is the Jets-Patriots game. So the next one up, we got the Denver Broncos versus the Las Vegas Raiders, where the Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite.
Yep.
With the over-under being 38.5. I'm going with the Raiders to win this one.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They've been playing really good ball, you know, here lately. The Broncos did just win their last game 16-9, but they played the Chargers, who are their whole team is really on the outs right now.
Yep.
Whereas if you flip over and you look at the Raiders, they also beat the Chargers. Then they beat Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lost to Indianapolis last week, but they just barely lost. They lost by a field goal.
Right.
In a game that could have went really either way.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say that I think the Raiders are going to win this game.
The Raiders are going to win this game. More so because I think people are looking at it as them the favorites because Jared Stidham doesn't have a proven track record as a long-term starter in the NFL, I guess. But that defense, dude, of Oakland, Jesus Christ, why do I keep saying Oakland? The defense of the Raiders is incredible. Like, it's getting there, especially – it sucks for the Raiders that it didn't bloom until – it was too late for it to bloom, if that makes sense. You know, it's like almost like they waited too long to be good at this, to be good at defense. You know, their defense now, especially over the past three games, has been lights out. I think had they not lost to Indianapolis, they would still be in the playoff hunt. But because of the loss to Indianapolis, now they're on the outs. Although they're going to come through, and I think this game will show everybody, hey, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to say it right now. Antonio Pierce should be the new head coach of this state. Forget the interim part. Make him the undisputed official head coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Yes.
He has took this team from a mid-team, and despite what the record says, because, I mean, it's the last week of the year, so, but just in the games where he has coached this team up defensively to being one of the better defensive teams over the last three, four games. So, yeah, give Antonio Pierce the job. Don't go on this big, long search for the next big – unless you're getting like an Eric Bieniemy or something – stick with Antonio Pierce, because I think he's got what it takes to be a good head coach in this league. And I think that he could take this Oakland Raiders team to places that it hasn't been since, like, I don't know, John Madden. You know what I mean? So
right.
Do something there. I mean, the last time the Oakland Raiders were even close to being a good playoff team was when Bill Callahan was the head coach of the I think it was Bill Callahan. Yeah, because I get him and Ryan Billy mixed up. Yeah, so it was Bill Callahan. Yeah, that was in 2002, was when they played Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl and they got washed 48-23.
So, yeah.
But I got the Raiders.
So that's Raiders across the board. Next matchup we're going to talk about is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants, where the Eagles are only a 5-point favorite, with the over-under being 41.5. Now, if you look, the Eagles have lost their four of their last five games,
yep,
only beating the New York Giants.
Right.
Because
go ahead.
I was just saying, then you flip over to the Giants, who have lost only three of their last five games. They beat New England, they beat Green Bay, then they lost to New Orleans, Philly, and the Rams.
Right.
But
look at the teams that have beaten Philly. Because you think about it, so they lost to San Francisco. I'm like, okay, we'll give you that loss. They lost to the Cowboys. All right, we'll give you the Cowboys too, because the Cowboys, you know, but you're playing the Seahawks. Wait, you just lost to the Seahawks? Oh, shit. Oh, you can't. Okay, you won against the Giants. All right, you're good. You just lost to the fucking Cardinals? You know, so it's like, what are you doing? You know, right. I don't know. It's crazy. Right. They are so, I don't, they're going to win this game. I think.
I do believe they win this game.
Even if they have all their backups in, I still think they'll win this game, because the Giants are a shell of what they were last year. And, you know, I don't know what the situation, they need a receiver and they need an O-line is what they need. And they also need some help on the back end of the secondary. Was one thing they definitely need. That being said, yeah, Eagles all the way. I think this is Eagles across the board also, correct?
It is Eagles across the board.
Yes.
Next matchup we're going to talk about is the Seattle Seahawks versus the Arizona Cardinals.
This is one where...
Well, Seattle is a 2.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
With the over-under being 47.5.
Right.
I might be odd man out here.
Okay.
But I think the Cardinals pull this win out.
You know what? You're not the odd man out, because I was going to go with Arizona too. Because I feel like the defense for Seattle is suspect at times. You don't know what defense you're going to get from them every single time.
Right.
I can't even believe I'm saying this. The offense looks great with Kyler Murray at Arizona. The offense looks amazing. It looks more explosive. You know, there's more firepower in that. The defense needs to step up a little bit in a lot of regards. Because, I mean, golly, look how many points you allowed with Philadelphia. Now, granted, they got some good key victories under their belt. They, you know, they beat the Cowboys. They beat the Eagles. Cool. You know, if they could have just strung together a couple of good win streaks in there, they might be in contention for a playoff spot. But against Seattle, I think it's going to be close, though. I do think it's going to be close. But I still got Arizona pulling off the win. Seattle's going to be more motivated to do it. But I think this is one of those games where Arizona plays spoiler and knocks the Seattle out of playoff contention, I think.
I agree. Yeah. However, Chad's going to go with the Seahawks here.
That's fine.
You're not mad at him.
No.
Again, will not surprise me if the Seahawks win. Mm-hmm. I think he may have picked the Seahawks just because he's mad that the Cardinals beat the Eagles. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. But he loves Kyler Murray, so it's kind of a catch 22 in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, hold on. I want you to get this.
Okay, I'm getting it.
The Los Angeles Chargers are a 3-point favorite with the over-under at 35.5.
That was a lovely little, hey, we're playing in LA, right?
Yeah, they're playing at SoFi Stadium.
So they gave them the 3-point favor because it's a home game. And I understand why they gave them the 3-point advantage. Well,
also, I think the Chiefs are going to be sitting some people because they clinched that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but even then, I don't even know who the backup is in Kansas City right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, no clue. Look that up real quick while you're doing that. But yeah, I mean, obviously Kelsey's not. Go ahead.
Their former backup, he retired last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Watch it be like some Brian Hoyer or Matt Flynn or some shit.
Let's see.
Or watch it be somebody we've never heard of before.
It's probably somebody we never heard of before.
Probably.
As I see. Notable player. Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he used to. He played quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars during the shitty years, during the Maurice Jones-Drew era.
So. Yeah, he was the 10th overall pick in the first round of the 2011 draft to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's also played for the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Titans, and the Tampa Bay Bucks, who he won a Super Bowl with, the Bucks.
There you go. Yeah. He didn't have to. He didn't have to play, but he got a ring.
He was a backup. That was the Tom Brady year.
That was the Tom Brady year. Yep.
Yep.
In which he beat Kansas City in that Super Bowl. So yeah. Right. So yeah, but yeah, Kansas City all the way on this one. The Chargers. They are legitimately going into rebuild mode. They just got rid of Brandon Staley. They're going to have to find a new head coach. They had to wait for Justin Herbert to come back from injury. They need to focus on the injuries that they already have. Make sure you take care of Keenan Allen because this is either his last year coming up or he's going to be a free agent after this season.
Right.
Try to lock him down, you know, make sure that he's there, you know, make sure you take care of the guys that you know are your superstars on your team and your playmakers because you lose those guys. Definitely take care of Joey Bosa. Make sure you don't get rid of him. Or he'll end up joining his brother up there in San Francisco, and then that's going to be fucking hellacious. But, yeah, do what you can, L.A. Work your ass off in this game, obviously. I mean, it's not like what you winning is going to change anything because they're still going to be the third seed, you know. So, well, yeah, they would still be the third seed because even if Jacksonville wins and they lose, they would still be the third seed because Kansas City holds the tiebreaker over Jacksonville. So
correct.
They would still be the third seed. So this game is either war. It don't matter, you know? Yeah. So chances are they'll probably throw the third strings out there probably. Either way, Kansas City's going to win.
Yeah, that's Chiefs across the board. Next up, we got the LA Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. Where the 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under 42.5. Now, obviously, the Chiefs, or I'm sorry, the 49ers clearly have already got that number one seed locked.
Yeah.
that's they're not losing that.
Yeah, and the Rams have the number six seed already. So
yeah,
this game is one of those games where, yes, it's important because both teams are playoff teams, but in a way, it kind of doesn't matter who wins this game because it's not like it's going to affect seeding. You know what right. I mean? So, yeah. That being said, I go ahead.
I'm going to go 49ers here. I just think they want that 13th win.
Yeah. Well, if you don't play Brock Purdy, you don't play George Kittle, you don't play Christian McCaffrey, you don't play Debo or Brandon Ayuk, you don't play Chase Young, you don't play Bosa, you know, even if you go out there with your secondary team, you know, and really is LA's probably not going to play Cooper Kupp or Matthew Stafford or Puka Nacua or Aaron Donald. So it's pretty much going to be a scrimmage game between these two teams. You know, right. It's just, hey, let's just go ahead and have fun today. We're both making the playoffs, so fuck it, you know, but if we meet you in the playoffs, you know, that whole thing. But yeah, I got San Francisco winning just because it's a pick to make, honestly. And it's going to be one of those games where neither team really gives a fuck because both teams are in. So it doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah. So that's 49ers across the board there. Mm-hmm. Next up, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Commanders, where Dallas is actually a 13-point favorite, with the over-under being 45.5. Obviously, I think Dallas is going to win this game. I just don't see a world in where the Commanders can beat the Cowboys, even if the Cowboys aren't trying.
hold on. As Stephen A. Smith says, some way, somehow, just wait, they will let you down. Here's the scenario that Dallas finds themselves in right now. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys sit at 11-5 in the number two spot.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Eagles are also 11-5, sitting at the number five spot. If Philadelphia wins their game and Dallas, for some reason, loses their game, that flip-flops and the Eagles become the number two seed and the Cowboys become the number five seed. But then again, if Dallas loses and Philadelphia loses, but the Lions win, the Lions move up to number two and Dallas drops down to three. What I'm saying is anytime the Cowboys have a chance to clinch it or have a chance to make something, you know, right, the chances of them blowing it are very, very likely to happen. So I'm going to be odd man out on this one, and I'm just going to throw it out there because they're not going to play Dak. They're not going to play CeeDee Lamb. They're not going to play Micah Parsons, D-Law, any of those guys. Washington don't have shit to lose, and I think they could possibly upset. This will be the upset of the week, I think. I got the Commanders upsetting the Cowboys. It sounds weird. I might get it wrong.
See, I don't think
I kind of want to see it happen, you know?
I get you. I understand where you're coming from. However, I don't think that the Cowboys sit anybody.
Okay.
Because they don't want to lose that number two seed. I think they play all their starters at least for two-thirds of the game.
Maybe. And then throw backups in the fourth quarter, maybe?
Yeah.
But you got to have a lead. You got to have a lead.
Maybe even three quarters. The Cowboys play the starters, and at the start of the fourth quarter, after they've already gotten, you know, a good lead, they put their, you know, second and third stringers in there.
Put Trey Lance in there. Yep.
Yeah. That's the way I see it going. So I've got the Cowboys winning this one. Chad's also going to go Cowboys here.
I'm going upset. I want to see it happen. I just because I want to see it happen. I want to see upset.
All right.
And it's Cowboys, so.
Yes. Next up, we got our Sunday night football game.
Oh, God.
We have the Buffalo Bills taking on the Miami Dolphins. Yes. This game is going to happen at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yes.
Miami Gardens, Florida, where Buffalo is a 3-point favorite.
Yep.
With the over under being 49.5. I will tell you, Chad is picking the Bills to win this game.
I had a feeling he was picking the Bills.
I assume that you were going with the Dolphins.
All day.
You were going to ride with your team.
Yes. We are in the playoffs regardless. Buffalo, depending on whether they win this game or not, is going to be dependent on if they make the playoffs. They have a 96% chance of making the playoffs. But other things have to happen in order for them to be overlapped. I don't see Pittsburgh beating Baltimore, so they're not getting in. I don't see Indianapolis beating the Texans, so I put the Texans in. And Jacksonville will probably win their game and get that number 4 spot. So 5, 6, and 7 are up for grabs. We already know 5 is going to Cleveland. Buffalo, chances are Buffalo's probably going to get that 6th seed. And then with the Texans creeping in at number 7. That's probably the more likely. It's probably more likely what's going to happen. However, if the it's fucking shit. If the Dolphins lose this game and the Bills win, they get the number 2 seed. And the Dolphins have to go on the road. Chances are we will probably end up being the number 6 seed and then have to play against Kansas City. That's probably what the most likely chances of happening are. However, I'm riding with Miami. It's in Miami. Everybody has a hard time playing in Miami because it doesn't matter if you play in September or you play in December, January. It's still humid as fuck in Miami, Florida. So I think that it could possibly affect the way the Buffalo plays. Miami and Buffalo, neither one of these teams are going to have any starters resting because this is prime time. This is for the number 2 seed and the AFC East championship. So as much as my brain is telling me, Talon, make the right decision. My heart's telling me go with the decision that you want to go with. Go with the Dolphins, pull out the victory. I'm not saying we're going to blow out the Bills. I'm not even saying that we're going to win significantly. I think it's going to be a fight. I think the Dolphins want it just as much as the Bills do, if not more, because the Dolphins have been in this position to where they've gotten the stigma of you're 1-4 against winning record teams. The Bills, they're kind of right there in that middle ground, but they're still a good team. And they beat us earlier in the year, 42-30. So we need this. That all being said, I'm going with Miami to win this game, hoping and praying to God that it happens. Go ahead. What is your analysis?
The last time the Bills lost was November 26th to the Philadelphia Eagles, 34-37 in overtime.
Yep.
Since then, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
The Dallas Cowboys, the Los Angeles Chargers, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay. On the flip side, the Dolphins have lost 2 of their last 5. They lost to Tennessee in a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
Then you guys just got dismantled by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I say all that to say the Bills are not sitting anybody. They're playing everybody they've got and then some.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are also not going to be sitting anybody. They're playing everybody they've got and then some. And at the end of this game, I wholeheartedly believe the Bills pull out the victory.
Yep.
By 3 points.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hard-fought game, I do believe. I don't believe this is going to be a blowout like what the Dolphins just experienced. The Dolphins are going to come into this game wanting some retribution.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure they get it here. I think the Bills want it more. And that's not saying that the Dolphins don't want it and that the Dolphins don't want it bad.
Right.
I think the Bills want it more. And I say that because people kind of wrote the Bills off.
Yes.
Earlier in the season. People started writing the Bills off and they were like, you know, maybe I was even one of those. I was like, you know, maybe Josh Allen needs to go ahead and, you know, bench himself, go get his elbow fixed because he's not playing up to snuff.
Right. Right. I agree.
And then he comes out and he starts playing what he needs. He starts doing what he needs to do as quarterback. So I just think the Bills want it that tiny bit more, and they eke out this win by 3 points.
The Bills are one of those teams where we talked about it, and a lot of other sports talk shows have talked about it, where they are in win now mode. Because if they don't win it this year, when are they going to win it? And when do you start questioning everything that you've went through the last several years?
Correct.
It's different with Miami, because this year was the first time that you really saw Mike McDaniel's vision come to fruition. The problem with McDaniels, in my opinion, and this is the only criticism that I have of him as our head coach, I love what he does on offense. I love how he gets Waddle and Tyreek and Raheem Mostert and now with Devon Achane, and they're so explosive when it comes to offense. But our defense is mid. And I'm being generous when I say that. The defense is mid.
Yeah.
When I look at Buffalo, they got years in this. They got years in Josh Allen. They got years in Stephon Diggs. They got years in Gabriel Davis. They got years in Greg Rougeau. You know, like they got years with guys. Matt Milano, you know, Von Miller. Like these guys who have been with this team for the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, who have been grinding, trying to get this to this point, right? Either way, the loser of this game more than likely is going to play Kansas City in the first round. So it's almost like, do we want to lose this game and play Kansas City, who's also on their revenge tour because they had a lot of the same questions asked about them that Buffalo has, but it's been more critical of Kansas City because they were the ones who, you know,
they just won the Super Bowl last year.
Exactly. They just won the Super Bowl, and now you're sitting there barely over 10 wins. You know what I mean? So there is even questions about them, and are their receivers going to step up? You know, can Kadarius Toney and Valdez Scantlin and Sky Moore actually, because Sky Moore's regressed, you know, Valdez Scantlin can make a play here or two, but he has fumbleitis when it comes to touching the football. Rashid Rice is probably the best receiver that they have, you know. Elevate him to that number one, unless you want to keep him at the slot, then go find you a number one that you can bring in to help Patrick Mahomes. And of course, Travis Kelce being one of the best tight ends of all time, it does help Mahomes out a lot. Mahomes, you saw the game against the Raiders. You can frustrate them. You can put them in situations where you can frustrate them. But in terms of Buffalo and Miami, Buffalo wants it more, and I will be the first one to say, yes, the chances of Buffalo winning this game are very, very likely. But damn it, I'm riding with the Dolphins on this one. And I got a feeling that it's going to be – this might be game of the week. I personally think this could be game of the week.
I can see that.
Yeah. I think Texans Colts is going to be a very, very good game to watch. I think what other game is on here? I think LA, even though LA and San Francisco isn't really a game that has any significance, because no matter who wins and who loses, they're going to stay at their respective spots in the playoffs. It'd be just a throwaway game. I don't know if I would consider that. The Seahawks and the Cardinals could be exciting if the Cardinals could play spoiler. Bears Packers could be a game where you could see a spoiler happening too. But yeah, what do you think in terms of games of the week?
I think Texans Colts, cause that's for a playoff spot.
Right.
Bar none. I think Vikings Lions is going to be low key a banger.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Seahawks Cardinals, Broncos Raiders.
Yeah.
And then Bills Dolphins. I think Bills Dolphins is going to be game of the week, personally. Yeah.
Bills Dolphins. Well, I mean, you got two being on back to back nights. Saturday night game will decide which team is going to make the playoffs. And then the Sunday night game is deciding which team's going to win the AFC East. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And again, the Steelers are going to have to do what they can do, but I don't see the Steelers winning. The Texans are going to beat the Colts, I think. I would love to think that the Bills – I just thought about this too. Hold on a second. If the Bills lose, that puts – I didn't think about this until just now. Is there a scenario where the Bills don't make the playoffs? They technically do not have a now their playoff probability is at 94%. So I'm gonna Google that real quick. If the Bills lose, okay. All right. I just found it. It was from CBS Sports. If the 10-6 Bills defeat the 11-5 Miami Dolphins in Week 8, they will not only make the playoffs but win the AFC East title. If they lose, they will rely on what happens between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as the Houston game against the Indianapolis Colts. So the only way that the Bills don't make the playoffs, if they lose to Miami, the Texans beat the Colts, the Jaguars beat the Titans, and the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Ravens. Okay, that's the only way they are out of the playoffs.
I don't see the Steelers beating the Ravens.
No.
So just in that scenario, I've got the Bills making the playoffs.
Yeah. The Bills are probably going to be right there at that sixth seed. So if we're going by everything that we talked about recently, the playoffs are looking like Baltimore's going to get the number one seed. Miami's at two. Chiefs are three. Chances are more than likely if the Jaguars do win, which we see happen, it's going to be the Jaguars playing against the Browns. The winner of the Dolphins-Bills is going to play the Chiefs, and the winner of the Texans-Colts is going to end up playing either the Dolphins or the Bills, depending on which team. The winner of the Dolphins Bills game will end up playing the winner of the Texans Colts game because they're going to be the ones that end up making it. If we look over here to the other side, 49ers will be the number one seed. And then either the Cowboys, Eagles, or Lions, the way that it's got it set up, whoever the NFC South champions is, whether it's the Bucks or the Packers, is going to end up playing the fifth seed, which will either be the Cowboys, the Lions, or the Eagles. The Rams have the sixth seed lockup, so they're going to play a combination of one of those. And if the Packers win, which more than likely will probably happen, they're going to get either the Cowboys. So it just depends on what the Cowboys, Lions, and the Eagles do this week, which is going to change, I still think the Cowboys are going to fuck around and lose, which is going to put the Lions at that number two spot. But we will certainly see what happens. So, yeah, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Are You Ready for Some Football? What are your predictions? Who do you think is going to make the playoffs this year? Who do you got winning the Super Bowl? Let us know in the comments down below. And we thank you guys so much. Happy New Year to everybody. We're here in 2024 now. Looking forward to a great year of Movement Radio. Chip, you got anything you want to say before we head out tonight?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe to on your favorite podcasting platform and right here on YouTube.
And shout out to everybody who's been down with us since day one. You know who you are. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you guys go follow us on all of our social media platforms, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok. Thank you guys for the love and support. Also, check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some new merch. We got some ideas coming. They will be further along in the later month, in the upcoming months. We're going to get some more content out there for you guys. And again, thank you guys so much. Until next week, I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard, and this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.